other key things as well lined up. We got our not only that, but I got a couple questions for you, Randy. A big question for the audience I want to get to. But we'll be having our fourth period as well today. We'll have River Kings GM and head coach Paul Peckman joining us. He's going to call in today, Randy. That's going
to
be fun.
It's always fun to have coach on.
But right now, given that it's a little bit sunny out, we've got this spring-like 40s degree weather almost going on. Why not talk a little baseball and our Rafters? We are going to talk with Wisconsin Rapids Rafters assistant GM Tyler Miller with us right now in studio. Tyler, how you been?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing good, man.
Good. Just have to give a quick shout out to Coach Paul. Went to the River Kings game last night with our food and beverage manager and had a great time. Been to a couple games this year, so it's always a fun time over there.
We're looking forward to being there Friday. Going to be at the game. I haven't gotten to see too much action this year, and I need to get over there. I need to get some ice in my life. I need to get over there. It's going to be fun. It's fun talking River Kings in a little bit, but for right now, Rafters are on our mind. Just wrapped up the Hot Stove event not too long ago. Tyler, how'd that go?
Yeah, no, it was really fun. Again, it's a little special to me being my fourth season here. It's actually the first time I've been able to host the event since I've been here. So COVID obviously shut everything down, and we just kind of couldn't gain the traction or find a good place to bring it back up. And we kind of reached out to the Hotel Mead this year and got it back in our contract. And they were excellent hosts. And then we were able to kind of have a really fun night, give a lot of inside information. Had to be there for some of it, so I won't share all of it yet. But again, we really just wanted to show appreciation. That was the biggest thing for us. In the past, it's kind of been a fundraising event for the Rafters. Mm-hmm. This year, we kind of shifted, and we had great sponsors. The Kellner Cafe donated the food for us, and we were able to make it free for our fans.
That's so cool.
Having package holders, sponsors there for free, just showing appreciation, having a very, very nice buffet meal, a great program. Again, also a huge shout out to Bob Galletta, the coach of Lincoln. Mm-hmm. He was there and gave a short talk on his program. And then we also had representation from the American Legion Baseball. That's something we care about too, is bringing in the locals to speak on their programs. That's a baseball community at heart. We know that. We know people want to see baseball, whether it's Rafters or American Legion, Assumption. No matter what, it's baseball. So we wanted to see that.
Tyler, we always talk about that on the air, what great coaches we have in this area. Mm-hmm. We are so blessed with those. And just mentioning the name of Coach Galletta, that just brings a smile to your face.
Well, I mean, it does. And I mean, Coach Galletta coaches for us sometimes. I mean, in the late season when we are in a pinch or need some guy. I mean, he's a fill-in guy, and he loves it. I mean, he shows his appreciation to us. He coaches these guys. It's really cool to see that. So he's a great guy. We have a great relationship with him and Coach Hartman over at Assumption as well.
Yeah, the Rafters, all teams in the Northwoods League and in this level, your goal is certainly in the creation of this league is to help these players get to that next level, to showcase these players and that. The mission becomes twofold and threefold often. Once you become a team, you're in a town, you become embedded with that city, that town, and you're a part of the identity of that town. When I describe this area to people, the Rafters are one of the things that I mention in description of Wisconsin Rapids. That's how embedded the team has become. And I don't think about it. Like, I just say it. It's just one of those things that I'll mention. The Rivers, some other, you know, beautiful wildlife, some of the things like that. WFHR. some things like that. It's a beautiful thing, but it comes back to that first lesson, that first thing of helping these players advance. The Northwoods League helps baseball advance. And that becomes the goal. It's not just about the players, and certainly that is a P goal, if not 1A, the single one goal, to help these players advance and to help the Rafters organization, of course. But then it becomes it's about baseball. It's about keeping the love of baseball alive, about lighting that spark in a young kid's mind that makes them want to go ahead and follow this dream and follow that game and play it, if not play it their whole life, watch it their whole life.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's perfect, because that's actually funny that you mentioned that. Is there's a gentleman on Facebook, actually a part of a old Wood County group or whatever that I'm a part of, and he's been recently posting pictures of Old Wooder Field. Man, he just posted this once. I reached out to him because we're going to repost it on our page and get some out there. But it's that. It's the fact that I saw the picture of where our office is right now, used to be the main gate of Wooder Field, and seeing the cars lined up and seeing the fans outside of the locker room waiting for the Twins players coming out. It's just amazing to see. I think I mentioned this before, but just a couple months ago, I really took the deep dive into the history of Witterfield and all the way from the start when it was the fairgrounds up into what it is now. And the baseball part of it is huge. And again, we're coming up in 2028. It's 100-year anniversary of Witterfield. Yeah. So
that's amazing.
It's just crazy to think about.
And the other thing, just to build off what you just said there, James, is the fact that so now you take the next step beyond this and you talk about the Northwoods League. Yeah. And isn't there a lot of pride with that too? Because if somebody moves on to the next level, if they might get to double H, maybe even make the majors, it's like they were in our league, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is. Oh, I mean, yeah, I look at that for myself. Even a little selfish sometimes is when I'm, even the last couple years when I'm looking at these guys, it's like, okay, I'm going to keep his card to the side because I know that one's, you just know.
Yeah.
And talk about the pride. I mean, the Northwoods League just expanded into softball, which, I mean, again, I know we'll probably talk about a little bit just because it's the league as a whole, but talk about the pride and talk about the nature of caring about athletes and caring about the growth and development. I mean, it's amazing to see that right off the bat they're going to have four teams of softball.
That's pretty cool.
And they're going to succeed. I mean, they're going to have fans. Yeah. They're going to do good. I mean, again, just the fact that Madison took up a team, I mean, they're going to be successful. And it's just really cool to see the league as a whole. I mean, we're all baseball, softball, the league meetings are the same and the people are the same and it's just really cool to see the development and just the care that the league has about their players.
Speaking with Tyler Miller, assistant general manager with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Tyler, the blinds are down. It's just you and Randy and I. What happened at the hot stove event that you're not supposed to know? What can we talk about? I want to get to the schedule real quick.
Yeah.
There are some exciting things there. Some players that we just recently signed.
Some real exciting schedule stuff. Obviously, mark the calendars. Opening day is May 28th at Witterfield. So that's always exciting. Getting ready for that. It's going to come quickly. 36 games, all jam-packed. We have the final two games at home. August 9th and 10th, which is really cool. That's always nice to have, is having the two final games. Hopefully, if it is a close match, if it's a playoff race is heating up and we need that last two games at home could really help us out. So
last couple of seasons have told us anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's exactly why I brought it up. And again, we're really focusing this year on the fan experience, really developing some of our promotional nights and some of those nights that we really want to do. There's some really cool things in the works. Just got back some mock-ups and colors of our three bobbleheads that we're going to be doing this year.
Nice.
So some really cool stuff with that. Some really cool community kind of engagement pieces with that. So we'll be putting that out. But I think we should talk some players. There's someone that we released at the hot stove that's not fully out yet, but I want to talk about him just because I know you guys are sports guys at heart. First off, Jorge Degatti's coming back. I mean, that's a huge one. He was led the team in batting average and on-base percentage last year. Huge part of the team. He's actually going to be – he's on the move. He transferred out of IU, and he's now down at Nova Southeastern, a community college in Florida. They actually just started their season, I think, this weekend. We were looking at it. So he'll be one to keep an eye on. He's excited to come back. I was chatting with him, actually, for the hot stove. We were just chatting back and forth about it, and he's super excited. But got a new player that's coming in. Heard of the name Cookie Rojas, former major leaguer,
a little bit.
He actually played for the Wausau, the Lumberjacks, I went back and looked.
Okay.
Which was really cool. That used to be the Reds farm team, I guess. So it was really cool. So his son is Victor Rojas, former play-by-play guy for the Angels. He's actually currently the general manager for the Frisco Rough Riders, the AAA team. His son, Tyler Rojas, grandson of Cookie, is a freshman at University of Central Florida, and he just signed to be a Rafter for this season.
Makes me feel old when you say grandson of Cookie.
Yeah, I remember seeing a play.
Right.
That is awesome.
Yeah, no,
that
really cool.
That's a nice pickup right there.
Again, it's just cool to see some of these names. I had a couple-hour conversation with our field manager the other day because it's that time of the year when I start to look at the guys and their last names and where they're from and some of that. And I'm like, all right. I mean, I tell you, if you go down the list of our roster, there's a story behind each one of these guys.
Yeah, I bet.
Whether it's their uncle who knows our field manager or their college coach who went to school with our – like, there's always connections, which is really cool to see. And, again, that's something we want to start to tell is focus on the stories part of it and how they ended up here and who they know and some of that stuff. So Tyler's really excited. He's a true freshman at UCF, so hasn't had playing time yet or anything, but – Coming out of high school, was one of the top recruits, and so he's one to keep an eye on.
Nice.
Again, having those freshmen that won't play a whole lot during their college career or during their freshman season in their college coming here, he'll get lots of playing time for us this summer. Whew.
That is nice. Yeah. Some nice pickups right there. Also seen a couple of Northwesterners coming over.
Yep.
My mom was very excited about that.
Oh, cool.
Very, very excited about that. So there's some nice pieces coming in, not only some familiar faces, but some newer pieces coming in as well.
There is. And this year's a lot of newer guys. I'll just be completely honest. I mean, we've got three returners right now, and that's all we've got signed. And again, a lot of it was because Kirk was recruiting older guys previously, and so those guys they've played a couple years and they're ready to go, or they don't need the Summer Collegiate League anymore. So he's really shifted his mindset to the younger guys that are hungry. Again, we talked about it, I think, at the end of the season about how many guys we had come through here. We're trying to tone that down a little bit and trying to keep a consistent team. If you look at the Green Bay Rockers, who won the Northwoods League championship, they had a very solid team all year round. Same guys in and out, same guys playing every day. That's where we're trying to go. So looking for some of these guys who are real hungry to play that maybe aren't getting the reps that they are at the university.
As we've seen with this team, too, while this season, the preseason, it's all important to be able to get that chemistry down. Some of these guys, when they come back, it's built on years of building that chemistry. So getting them young and getting them in, nice, not bad. That's a smart move.
Exactly. And the goal is to have them signed for multiple years, have them come back and come back. Then it's, again, it goes back to the pride and some of that stuff of our team. I get it. Some of the guys I walked in and I didn't know who they were, when they left or when they left or who they were. So we're trying to keep that consistency, and we get it. There's injuries that happen. There's arm limits. There's different stuff that happens throughout. But overall, trying to keep consistent team throughout the summer.
And I think that's kind of a cool balance too, because as a fan, you go to the game, you go, I love to see these players, and I love to see them stay around.
Yes.
On the other hand, as a fan, you're like, ooh, I like to see new blood and see what they might be able to do for us, and then kind of come along with us for the next couple of years.
It's a fun thing about being a Rafter fan, being a Northwoods League fan. Mm-hmm. You get to see a little bit of both in that, and it's always so much fun to see these players, as you were touching on, Tyler, these kids that we just have a feeling on. We just I keep an eye on this one. This kid's going to be something. He's going to be all right. As we're wrapping up, Tyler, I wanted to touch on the MVP program and let people know what that is.
No, of course. Yeah, we're really excited about this program. We struggled for the last couple years. Again, I love the opportunity that we're able to provide to high schoolers with their first job. And we're able to hire at 14. So 14-year-old getting in the concession stand or getting in the bounce houses, just monitoring kids, is a very, very incredible opportunity. Mm-hmm. The reason I got into baseball at 15 was a bounce house attendant at the South Bend Cubs.
That's awesome.
And that's where I realized I wanted to be in baseball forever.
How did I not know that? I'm a horrible interviewer. Yeah. I should have asked that.
And so that's exactly where I was like, okay, I need to be at a ballpark all the time. So again, the fact that we're able to give that opportunity, hopefully maybe there are some that are like, I want to stick in sports throughout my whole life.
Going again. They never know when that spark could start.
Correct. So with that comes some disadvantages. I mean, just being honest, having 14, 15-year-olds running around the ballpark, there's some disadvantages of that.
Yeah.
And so we really want to have some adults out there, have some wisdom out there. And so we started a memorable volunteer program. It is meant for those looking to get out of the house. Again, it's outside. It's walking around. It's a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
So the memorable volunteer program is basically, we're asking for, out of our 36 games, we're asking for 12 nights of your time to help be a greeter, show people their seats, just answer questions. Again, a lot of these people, they know more about Winterfield than I do, half of the town does. And so they're like, oh yeah, Gary Gaetti played here, right here. He sat right there. I'm sitting here, And so trying to attract some of those people to come out here and really just boost the atmosphere of the stadium and know where everywhere you turn, there's someone that can help you is kind of what we're going to. So we're asking for 12 nights out of their summer, and they'll actually get a full season pass so they can just come to any game they want to. They'll have a meal at each game they come to. So overall, just a volunteer program, trying to help our younger ones have some supervision over there, because I can't be everywhere at once as much as I think I can be. And same with our general manager. He can't be everywhere at once. So really just trying to have some adult supervision and again, just get out of the house. It's a great opportunity to be outside and be around community people and, again, watch baseball.
If you want to sign up for that, find out more, get your season tickets and plenty of more, go ahead and go to northwoodsleague.com/Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, northwoodsleague.com. Tyler, thank you so much for the time.
No, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Always fun talking with you.
With the way the weather is and everything, we'll see you in a week when the season starts. Well, I mean, it's the way time works. It's like you said, May, right around the corner. It'll be right here. Thanks for the time, brother.
No, thank you.
We'll come back and have some more fun right here on Playmakers here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here. Playmakers. I knew I was going to do that. I knew I was going to do it at least once. I got excited about the music, I'm going to be honest with you. And I got excited about being able to start the fourth period. Randy, Paul, and James here for Playmakers. And we're going to kick things off talking a little hockey with our friend Coach Peckman from the Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Coach Paul joining us. Coach, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
We're doing good. We're doing good. Thanks so much for joining us, sir. We appreciate the time. Coach Paul in the middle of traveling right now, so we don't want to keep you too long, sir, but I do appreciate the time. What are you up to right now? Where are you off to, heading off to?
I am actually on my way down to Madison just to meet one of the other owners and talk about playoffs and everything good that we got going on right now.
Excellent. Very cool. Very cool. Thank you not only for the insight, but for the time. Always appreciate you, sir.
And 2 out of 3 this weekend. That's always something fun to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. Second place is fun to talk about. Rafters after the weekend, victorious weekend that I think we can all agree had, the points had and the wins had. Rafters are currently sitting in second place in the division, in the Midwest West Division standings. Coach, what stood out to you about this weekend?
Well, I like the way that we bounced back on Saturday night. Obviously, you know, once again, Friday was a little disappointing that we didn't come out with the jump that we needed. But I like the way that we responded on Saturday and obviously rolling that and keeping that going into Sunday and gaining a little ground on both the teams ahead of us, the Squatch and Hudson, puts us in a better position, you know, come Monday morning, right? So, I like, you know, we're getting closer. We're getting closer to where we want to be, and we just got to keep our nose to the grindstone and keep going.
The team has more OT victories than anybody else in the conference. Why do you think that is, and is that something that you and your team have been focusing on?
Well, I think we're in a lot of OT games because of the way we play. And, you know, again, we don't blow out anybody other than a 9-2 win the other night. That was probably the biggest of the year. But we usually are – we're in a tight – we're very defensive structured. So we're going to be in close games. We don't give up a lot of goals. We don't score a lot of goals. So which, you know, is always – you're always going to be in tight games when you have that kind of team makeup. And honestly, I think I'm okay with it as long as we come out on the winning end of things most of the time. But, you know, getting ready for the playoffs, I mean, this is playoff hockey, and we've had that mentality for a while. And I think we're going to be okay as long as you know, we finish strong here. We got, what, 10-game stretch left, and, you know, every game matters now. And I think if we win out, we got a good shot of winning the division. So, we'll see how things play out.
Coach, it's interesting to me that I would say going back to, and I was just listening to some of our previous interviews, I think almost December, it feels like you guys have been already in a playoff state of mind, that you've been approaching the games that way. And it made me think, well, at points like, wait a minute, are they at a different part of the division than I thought? Are they lower? Because you guys are playing like a team that has to win out to get into the playoffs, but yet you've been in this you know, the 3-2 spot here for a while, the 3-4 spot for a while, and really sitting in the 3 for quite some time, and now we come out of this weekend where you're in the 2, and still I hear it in your voice. I hear the hunger. It's not good enough for you. It's not just good enough for you and this team to make the playoffs, is it?
No. Listen, you know, I mean, to be honest with you, James, I mean, the top 8 teams make the playoffs, right? So 8 out of 9 make it. It's not where, you know, I'm not satisfied making it. I'm satisfied how we make it and where we make it. And obviously, we want to be in the top. Obviously, you want to win the division. But, you know, in the top two spots means you get home ice for both rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the goal. That's the first step, is to have home ice throughout. And look, we got our eyes set on national, going to nationals. And that's been the mindset from training camp. And guys know it. We talk about it all the time. And to be honest with you, I mean, we were all very frustrated on Friday night losing that game when Hudson lost the same night, which means we could have made up some ground.
Yeah.
And that was disappointing. So, you know, as hard as we work, there's always a goal in mind. And these guys are working their tails off, and they're very focused. They want to win, and they want to go to nationals. So in order to do that, there's a certain way that we have to go about it and making them understand. You listen, they're teenagers, right? So they kind of they kind of wander a little bit here. But when you gather them all back together here, say, let's stay focused here. What are we looking to achieve? And every weekend is very important, and you can't take days off. And so we're sticking to the grindstone, and you know, we've been fortunate. We've been fortunate. I mean, we're having a good year. 23-7-6 is nothing to sneeze at, and I'm proud of them, but the job's not done.
Yeah. Coach, are you finding it a little bit easier now that you're going to turn the calendar out of January into February, and that goal that you're talking about is just right around the corner?
I don't know if it's easier, Andy. It's you know, we have to win out if we're going to get it, if we're going to do it, because you know, that means, you know, we can't have any more Friday night blunders.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, yeah, this. Listen, we've beaten every team in the division. We know we can win. It's just, you know, how we are prepared. You know, how well are we prepared? And, you know, sometimes I look back and maybe I'm not doing something right, or we're not approaching it the right way, and I don't understand it, because, you know, Saturday nights we just come out flying. And it's, you know, I gotta mix things up and change things around a little bit here, try to catch their attention a little more on how important Friday nights are. You know, we got to come out with 4 points every weekend here if we're going to have a shot at this. So, you know. So, is it easier? No, but that's okay. I'm enjoying it, and I know the guys are, and you know, they're starting to see the light at the tunnel here. And you know, if you look at our schedule, it's in our favor, I guess, if you want to say. But
yeah,
you know, any given night, if you don't show up, you're going to get smacked in the mouth. So, we got to be ready.
Speaking of that, Coach, this weekend we got the Blue Ox coming to town. I am going to be down there Friday handing out some stuff and trying to cheer you guys on. Looking forward to it. What are you looking forward to about this weekend with this team coming in? Minnesota in the fourth spot in a similar situation to where you guys were a little while ago, wanting to build up and in the standings and everything. So what is it? What can you... what is a good preview of the Blue Ox? What is something that stands out about that team?
They are a hard, physical, fast team. They are tough to play against. And again, if we're not ready, we're going to be in trouble. They're a good team, and right now they're on a roll. And they've quietly crept up the ladder here, and they're nipping at our bootstraps here. And if we're not careful, they're going to sneak up on us. So we got to be ready. Like I said, they're a good team, you know, and they've caught their second wind here, and we got to watch out.
Coach, after this weekend's set of games, we've got another weekend with games, home games here at the Southwick County Rec Center with the Isatani Outlaws coming in. Those are all exciting games. We'll talk about those as we get closer. But real quickly, before we let you go, I did want to mention the Valentine's game coming up with the Chicago Crush versus the Wisconsin Rapids River Kings is an outdoors game. How excited are you about that?
Unfortunately, James, that's not going to happen.
I apologize. I'll fix it in editing. No. Wait a minute. We're live. Wait a minute. I'm sorry, Coach. I it was my dad speaking for me. He loves outdoor hockey, so I had to ask the question.
No, believe me, we just found out a couple of days ago their owner called and and he had some concerns and about the weather. Actually, it's supposed to be in the 40s, 50s around that time, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know. And
yeah,
he's worried about conditions and stuff. So I don't think it's going to happen. We're going to, if the weather is okay, I mean, we'll play those games, but we may stay an extra night and we might do a blue white inner squad game outdoors if we can, if weather permits.
Well, that'd be cool and a great way to rebound about that, especially. Now, since that game takes place on Valentine's Day, I just gave you guys a preview of my how Valentine's Day usually goes for me. That it's fumbled in. It's something that I... Coach, we appreciate the time so much. We're looking forward to this weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in person. I'll meet everybody there. Let's show them what Home Ice Advantage is. Get your tickets and find out ways you can help support the River Kings in their fundraiser. Randy and I are going to talk about that for a minute, Coach, but we'll let you get going. Thanks so much for the time.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We'll talk soon. Thanks again, Coach. Coach GM Paul Peckman joining us right there from your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings.
You know what? Next time we have to get an update on the road conditions and traffic conditions.
Yes.
Right now on I-39.
Yeah, we're definitely going to Coach Paul. You know, it's not as if he doesn't have enough jobs already. Let's give him one more. Another one on there. Get your tickets at riverkingshockey.com, everybody, and go there. And when you go there, not only can you see the standings, some of the cool, interesting other news that's breaking with our River Kings, but there is a fundraiser going on to help our River Kings not only get a shower and bathroom, a team video room, a laundry room, a coach's office, simple things that every sports franchise, no matter how big or small, deserves to have in order to grow, in order to keep doing what they're doing. And let's help them do this. Let's help make this happen. You can help your River Kings and help them build hockey up and down the river by going to riverkingshockey.com. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun right here on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing at WFHR. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. 3:34 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I'm joined by my partner in sports, Randy Paul.
Good afternoon, all.
Whew, that was a fun half an hour right there, Randy.
My goodness, huh?
Phone lines are open, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Big shout out to Tyler Miller from the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, and of course, Coach and GM Paul Peckman for joining us from our Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. That was a lot of fun, you guys. That was great. Looking forward to talking more of those teams as we go forward here. And Randy's got some local sports for us as well. We want to talk about whatever you want to talk about, everybody. 424-2600, call up and join the conversation. But I did have two questions I wanted to throw out there for everybody, and you can save your answers for next week if you want. You want to take some time to think about it, that's fine. But in honor of Bob Uecker's birthday Friday, I had the question in my head, and I'm sure this has come up before, but I don't think it has, at least not on our show. And I always think this is a fun one. For one, because there's no wrong answers. And for two, because it creates debate and fun, and we go back and forth and all that. In honor of Bob Uecker's birthday, who is on your Mount Rushmore of Wisconsin sports? Who are your top four Wisconsin sports athletes? Now, this can be any sport. It could be an athlete that didn't even play in Wisconsin but is from Wisconsin, or vice versa, an athlete that played their whole career in Wisconsin but they're not from here. 424-2600. I asked my friends this question. I asked a couple of listeners about that. Got some interesting answers. Hank Aaron, Bart Starr, Kareem, and Giannis is what my brother threw out there. And Party was looking at championships. Let's see here. Oh, no, I'm sorry. My friend Chris. My brother threw out there Giannis, Yount, Rogers, and Kareem. So that was an interesting list. Another friend of mine had Reggie White, Hank Aaron, Giannis, Lombardi, and Tony Shalhoub. Now, Tony Shalhoub didn't play sports, but he is a proud Wisconsinite. It's nice to throw it outside the lines in there. If you've got five, that's okay. It's understandable. It was hard to come up with four. For me, just because I got to play along a little bit here and everything, I threw out there Lombardi, Kareem, Hank Aaron, and Bob Uecker. I think that the Uecker thing could be talked out of, but I like the idea of putting him in there. And I don't think that anybody has. I think there's other people that might deserve it more, but I don't think you can argue that Bob Uecker deserves to be in the conversation and arguably in that number four spot, if not somewhere else in there, with what he has not only done as somebody who has promoted the state and promoted Wisconsin athletics, but also his acting, Mr. Belvedere, Major League, some of those things. So he's getting seen by a whole bigger audience that isn't just sports.
Boy, interesting just to go through the different teams that have participated. Like if you go Packers, Bucks, Brewers, if you go Marquette, you go Wisconsin. Just think of the wide variety come up with. You come up with a Barry Alvarez from
Wisconsin. I just thought of Ron Dane immediately as soon as you said the Badgers.
Right?
Yeah.
You could come up with, surprisingly nobody said like Brett Favre. In that group
I thought that was interesting. I really did. I thought it was weird to see more votes and I only saw two votes, one vote for Aaron, but it was even more for him than I did for Favre. I didn't hear any of those. Let's go ahead and find out from all of you. Good afternoon. What is on your mind?
Oh, you almost said morning. You almost said it.
I almost did.
I heard it.
It was so close.
Well, you got my list. You got my list already. I sent that to you on Friday when you brought it up.
Yeah.
But you know, with my list, I had Uecker, I had Alvarez, Lombardi. But you know, you have to put Al McGuire in there. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Marquette, but what he did at Marquette,
phenomenal,
and putting that school on the map.
Yeah,
you almost have to put him on there.
He sold Marquette basketball to those players from New York like it was a little New York, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did. I mean, that was just one of the things that he did for Milwaukee. If you look at the play, you want to go players, you'd have to go Yount.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really think Lou Alcindor because he was there for the championship, but
yeah.
You know, you really can't say that. So I would probably go Yount, Favre, Reggie.
I thought of Kareem and Reggie in a similar light, just because they didn't play here that long.
Yeah.
But they did win championships when they were here. But so, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Just think about like Bart Starr. Not only did he play here, but he coached here.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you bring up McGuire because I asked my dad this question, and he didn't have time to give me all the all four. He gave me Lombardi and McGuire. Like, that's all he gave me. So it's really interesting you said that.
Because anybody who has a trophy named after him that they're playing for in two weeks, that's kind of big.
Well, my dad's a huge DePaul guy. And he grew up in the heart of all of that, really enjoying all of those great matchups and the way those coaches loved each other, the way they faced off against each other. Like, that's a time in basketball that I missed out on that I wish I could go back in time and have caught and taken in.
Yeah, you know, and then if you want to, want to throw a couple other players in there, you can look at the college level, you can look at just popped out of my mind, Ron Dane. Brought the Heisman Trophy to Wisconsin.
Part of the thing with Ron Dane that stands out is Ron Dane wasn't just another great running back at Wisconsin, and not just another great running back breaking NCAA records. He did it at a time right when every game was being televised. Right at the time when all of a sudden these guys were truly getting right to almost into every household. And he was probably... I know that we're here in Wisconsin experiencing it, but I've got a lot of friends around the country. And Ron Dane was a U.S. star. He wasn't just a Wisconsin star.
Right.
He was big all over the country.
From what I understand, he did a lot of recruiting of running backs.
Yeah.
We have had a lot of great running backs after him, and he had a lot of hand in that.
My list is starting to change a little. All of a sudden, Ron Dane's starting to creep up the list. It's a fun conversation,
I think.
One other question that I did have for the audience, and I was curious about where people stand on this one, is I'm watching, I got to see the tail end of the Kansas City Baltimore game, and Kansas City's accepting the Hunt Trophy and all of these things in Baltimore. And I'm looking around and I see that there's still quite a few people in the stands, including quite a few people with Baltimore jerseys. And they're not just booing or anything like that. They're watching, they're taking video, they're taking it in. I remember when the Blackhawks won in Philly, and seeing a ton of Flyer fans and other fans sticking around and watching it. What would you do in that scenario? It's a little different if it's a rival. It's a little different there. I don't think you stick around. But Baltimore-Kansas City don't really have that much of a rivalry or anything like that. It's still seeing history. You're still seeing something that you may never see again. A team not only going to the Super Bowl, but accepting the your conference's championship, that game's MVP. I don't know. If I'm there, no matter how diehard of a Baltimore fan I am, I'm seeing legends like accepting trophies. I want to stick around and see that, plus how much the tickets cost. I want to get my money's worth.
You know, two names that we've mentioned here, Reggie White and Brett Favre. I happened to be at that NFC Championship game when they won, and those two were on the podium along with Holmgren and Ron Wolf and all those guys. You did not want to leave.
You wanted
that moment to last forever.
I can only imagine.
Even though it was only 14 below that day without the wind chill. It was just a beautiful day.
Would you stick around for something like that, or you're out of there? I got to get home. It's parking's crazy.
No, I would stick, just because I'm a true sports fan.
I hear you. Yeah.
You know, I would stick around to see it. I mean, granted, yeah, it sucks that it wasn't my team.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it yesterday, even though the Packers, I mean, there was no interest to see those teams. I watched it on TV. Did I care? Like I think I said when I talked this morning, did I care to see those guys seeing Taylor and Travis make it out on the field and all this stuff? No, I didn't know. That's just in that celebration. But as a true sports fan, I mean, I think they'll stick around and watch it. Yeah, it's tough that your team didn't win it. But like you said, you're kind of seeing history and making, you know, you got the next Belichick Brady combination there with Reed and then Mahomes. I mean, it's just.
You know, it would have been a.
They never see it again.
What would have been a fun fact if the Lions would have hung on yesterday? The Super Bowl teams, of course, would have been Detroit and Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Who would have been the only team this year in the NFL that defeated both the Lions and Kansas City?
Wow.
The Green Bay Packers.
That's I thought of it as soon as you said it. That's a great stat. Oh, that's a good one. As long as we're talking stats, I do have a couple of stats real quick I wanted to get to. The most career receiving yards in the playoffs, most people heard. Travis Kelce broke the Jerry Rice's record for receptions in the playoffs. But as far as receiving yards in the playoffs, Hines Ward is in there. Tyreek Hill, Andre Reed, great name to see. Andre Reed, Reggie Wayne, Cliff Branch, Michael Irvin, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman at number three, Travis Kelce at number two with 1,694 yards. At number one, Jerry Rice with 2,245 yards. Like
playoff yards?
Yeah, playoff yards. Yards in the playoffs.
So that tells you that not only they're a good receiver, but they've been on great teams that they got there that often, right?
Congratulations to Travis Kelce, blah, blah, blah. Look at the regular season receiving. Jerry Rice is the Wayne Gretzky of receiving yards, or receiving stats. Like, nobody's catching him. Even with today's modern age of passing, where everything is passing now, even fourth and short, you're passing. So much more opportunities for receivers to gain yards, get receptions, et cetera, et cetera. I will put my name on this. Nobody is touching Jerry Rice's records. It's longevity. It's not just being a number one, but sticking around and being able to be a number two. The things that Jerry Rice did, I'm so thankful that I got to see that man play. It's impressive what Travis Kelce is doing, and I think he's easily in the argument of best tight ends of all time and all that. And it's impressive to see a tight ends this high on the list with him and Gronkowski. That's pretty cool. But Jerry Rice is not only the GOAT at receiver, he may be the GOAT football player. Like, he's in that conversation.
Okay, I got a question for you now, James.
Oh, all right.
Who is Joe Montana rooting for?
Great question. Yeah, that's a tough one. I like to think that he was rooting for San Francisco, but I wouldn't be shocked. What I really loved was seeing him and Barry Sanders at the coin toss, and I just happened to look up to see it. And Joe's going in for the handshake. Barry's like, no, brothers hug. and Joe gets a big goofy smile. They're hugging. Barry Sanders and Joe Montana hugging at midfield. Like, nothing could go wrong for me in that game. I felt for Detroit and everything, but that was a pretty cool moment.
You know, I thought when they went for it on 4th and 2 and 4th and 3, they should have handed it off to Barry Sanders.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm convinced he would have made it both times.
Even if he didn't make it, it would have been exciting.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been exciting.
Couldn't have been any worse the way it turned out.
Right. And I am so proud of our show. 47 minutes in before we talked about that.
We did well.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good, guys. Everybody take a bow. That's pretty good. What was your takeaways from the weekend, and what are you excited about with the Super Bowl?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I really wish it was Detroit instead of San Francisco. I just, for them, when they did not kick that field goal on that first fourth and three, and they went for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was right there.
They could have went back up. They could have went back up by 17 right there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
That changed the whole game because right there after they did not get in there, the momentum changed. They tightened up. They got that long pass. The lucky catch.
And just then, right after that, it was 7 points. Boom.
You know what bothered me more was running it on that third and having to burn your timeout.
Oh yeah,
that's the part. That's the play that, other than the Reynolds drop, that's the thing that that worried me the most.
Because they could have 50 seconds left.
Yep.
And only needed a field goal.
And there's no guarantees here. And a lot of what we're thinking about here too is if in that second period quarter they score that 3 points or whatever, blah blah blah. The adjustments that San Francisco has made were always going to make. And I think we're a lot of people are assuming that they'd have been able to stop that or been able to continue with what they were doing without the adjustments that were made. And this is something we see. Like, I understand this hurts right now if you're a Detroit fan. It hurts just as football fans because so many of us were rooting for Detroit. But I really admire Dan Campbell's press conference. Complete accountability. Complete accountability. Didn't bat an eye, didn't lower his head, didn't blame anybody else, didn't whine, none of that stuff. Tell it like it is. And it made me like the guy even more, and I didn't know that was possible. But he's right. There's no guarantees you get there again. You even get into the playoffs because of how heavy the division is.
You know, I was talking about that after the Packers lost to the 49ers. They go, well, we're a young team, and we might. Well, you know what? Dan Marino didn't get back.
Yeah.
You know, there is just no guarantee. When you get that close, they may never get back. You know, Packers might not, Lions might not. What was really cool, though, is when they would show the Lions' home stadium and how packed it was with fans. That was kind of awesome.
Yeah, you can't.
35,000 people they had there. That's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
It's interesting that so many people I talk to are already bored with the Super Bowl. Like, we haven't even gotten to Radio Row or anything like that, and they're already bored of the Super Bowl. They're already like, I don't care. Like, which is insane to me, but none of it matters. And the NFL doesn't care because while they are not only going to get all your fans that you always do with the Super Bowl, and it's going to have record amounts of numbers, something the NFL has never had that they are going to have, that Swift audience. They've got that already guaranteed. That's in there. So what you people like us that may not care as much about the Super, they don't care. They're going to be fine. Those ratings are going to be insane with that audience that they have bringing there.
And had the Lions been in there with them, they'd have been through the roof.
Yes. That we missed out on. You know what this reminded me of? And I don't know if I'm alone here or not. And I don't mean to keep you, sir, if you need to get going.
Nope, you're good.
The Minnesota Super Bowl. It's the only time in my life I've ever rooted for Minnesota, and it's all because of Randall Cunningham, because of how much I love Randall Cunningham. And it just seemed like that team was a team of destiny. That team was going to do things. That team was not only going to get to the Super Bowl, they're going to win that dang thing. In my head, it's a question of, well, who's going to be MVP, Randall or Randy Moss or Chris Carter? Like, I'm thinking of it that way and stuff. And then Gary Anderson, whoop, misses that field goal, and we get I felt a boring Super Bowl. I felt a really lame Super Bowl. The only exciting thing was Eugene Robinson outside of the Super Bowl. It didn't even have anything to do with the game. Like, that's how boring that Super Bowl was. NFL Man of the Year goes to the... was rough. To me, that's what this reminded me of. That we had an opportunity to have Kansas City, Detroit, a really exciting Super Bowl that I think most of the country could have gotten behind. This one's boring. It San Francisco hasn't been there in a while, sure, but I was out the last time San Francisco was in the Super Bowl, I was out in California living out there, and you wouldn't be able to tell the game was going on. The week of the Super Bowl, all of a sudden I see all these flags out, people on their lawns putting out 49er signs. Like, it was like it was Christmas. Like, the only time they celebrate is the week of. The diehard sports fans out there, there were some Dodger fans that I ran into, but it was mostly Raider fans, not Niner fans. I think that's part of it. I think part of it is seeing a team that is going for, like, their record in Super Bowl wins. So, I mean, it's hard to really root for the Niners unless you're a Niners fan when it comes to that. And as much, you could be the biggest Patrick Mahomes fan in the world. You saw this TV show last year. That was the episode you saw last year, was Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. So it's hard to get too excited about any of this.
Yeah, if you're from Wisconsin, you're thinking 13 days after the Super Bowl is when the Brewers play.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, if you think about this, though, if Detroit would have made it, Taylor Swift and Eminem could have had a
Out
in the park camp for the pregame. You know, that would have been a pretty interesting.
That'd have been pretty. I'd have liked that. That might have been worth it. That might have been worth it right there. Always good to talk to you,
well,
sir.
That would have been kind of. That would have been kind of ironic that if Taylor Swift would have been the halftime show. That would have been kind of weird.
Yeah, you know? That would have been very weird. Yeah, that would have been a little awkward.
We figure she still might show up.
She might, yeah.
That's true. But all right, you guys have a great week.
You
James,
too.
I might see you on Friday. I might be at the River Kings game.
Right on. Hope to see you there, man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, brother. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the show on Playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Randy and James here with you. Randy's got some local news for us.
Yeah, and high school boys basketball from this past week on Tuesday. Rapids won at Rhinelander 74-66. They're going to host Merrill tonight at the Fieldhouse. Elsewhere in the Valley, fourth-ranked Spash throttled 3-dubs 71-53, while number 9 Marshfield outlasted Everest 46-42. These top two squads will meet tonight, 7:45 in Stevens Point, first place on the line. Merriwood South, Assumption was stopped on the road by Stratford 60-44. Jack Widmeyer led Assumption with 16 points. The Royals will host Auburndale tomorrow night. And speaking of Auburndale, the Eagles had no trouble with Newman, 75-46. Caden Weinfurter led Auburndale with 22 points. And second-ranked Marathon mauled Edgar 58-40 as Grant Warren poured in 21. Over in the CWC South, Port Edwards hit the road and won at Wild Rose 55-45. Blackhawks will host Blair Taylor tomorrow evening. First place and fifth-ranked Almond Bancroft routed Rosholt 73-19. Pacelli destroyed the Penguins of Tri-County 92-27. The Cardinals will be at Pittsville tomorrow. And the Panthers spanked Spencer 67-48. Ben Friday and Jacob Hardinger each had 17 points for Pittsville. Down in the South Central, Nakusa picks up the Conference W over Adams Friendship 73-60. Brett Best poured in 23 points for the Papermakers. They'll host Boston tomorrow at 7 p.m. Boston lost at home to the Dells 65-49. And Wautoma whipped Westfield 73-35. Girls high school basketball action in the Valley. Lincoln picks up a W in a non-conference tilt, 73-66 over Reedsburg. Rapids will be at Merrill tomorrow night. Marshfield was 50 better than Everest, 70-20.
Whoa.
They'll be at Point tomorrow night in a battle for first place with the Panthers as Spash got past Wausau West, 65-50. In the Merriwood South, top-ranked and unbeaten Assumption won at Armordale on Tuesday, 55-31. Sarah Shaw and Anna Schooley had 13 points. Those two girls both got injured two nights later against Auburndale again and only won this time by the final of 43-37. Fortunately for the Royals, Jordan J. Glinski picked things up for them as she poured in 17 points.
Nice.
Tonight is the stiffest test of the season as they travel to La Crosse Aquinas to face the 8th-ranked in Division III Blue Golds. And the Royals are facing those injuries, so it's going to be interesting to see how they are going to be able to, because the tournament starts just 3 weeks from tomorrow already.
It's a test.
So
even without a full squad.
Hopefully they do some healing, right? Mm-hmm. Over in the CWC South, Port Edwards lost at home to Wild Rose 74-8. The Blackhawks' next game will be at Rosholt on Thursday. Fifth-ranked Pacelli is now 17-1. They trounced Tri-County 97-31. Some big scores. Mm. Pittsville improves to 15-2 as they have a 70-31 bombing of Bowler. Reese Grimm's 20 points led the Panthers, who will travel to Auburndale tonight. And Almond Bancroft also routed Rosholt this last week, 52-19. Down in the SCC, Nakusa tumbles at home to Boston, 46-20. Their next opponent, Westfield, dumped Adels, 52-37. And Wautoma squeaked past Adams Friendship, 51-46. In high school wrestling, Wisconsin Rapids earns its first or wins first place in the Valley as they get a perfect 6-0 conference record. They won 9 out of 11 matches that they wrestled, 6 coming via pin in a 52-21 victory over DC Everest. The Wisconsin Valley Conference Tournament will be held this Saturday in Stevens Point. And in boys high school hockey on Saturday, the Lincoln Red Raiders hosted Sun Prairie and picked up a 6-2 W at the Southwood County Rec Center. They improved to 13-5 on the season. Josh Dekarski and Carson Gauze each netted a couple of goals for Rapids, who will host the Thomas Sparta Co-op tomorrow night at 7 p.m.
Great stuff, Randy. Thank you, as always. Wonderful coverage from you. Appreciate
you. Always a busy time at this at this time of year. We're starting to wind things down regular season. Mm-hmm. Tournament time comes in February for a lot of these sports, so a lot of fun coming up.
We'll get to our schedule real quick here. We got the Bucks on our dial tonight. Be sure to join us for that. 7:30, our pregame will kick off for that. Bucks at Denver. That's a test. Mm-hmm. That's a test. And Coach Rivers coming in right when that happens, too. And Wisconsin Hockey Hour tomorrow at 7 right here at WFHR tomorrow. Marshfield at Lincoln High School Boys Basketball. Michael and Seth going to cover that one for you. Randy's going to be coming up on Thursday with Athens and Assumption Girls, as we were talking about there. That game will be on WIRI at 7:05. We've got less than a minute. Let's go ahead and try to get a call in. Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Good morning, James. I was going to remind everybody about the Bucks and Doc Rivers' debut tonight, but you already stole my thunder. I am really excited that you'll have it here, but I want to see some aggression on the base pass in all of baseball this year. And Paul Molitor is the all-time leading stole base leader for the Milwaukee Brewers, and it's by a long shot. So let's get some hustle, boys.
There's another great name for a Wisconsin athlete.
Yeah,
right?
That's a great mention. I love Paul Molitor, and I would have never guessed Molitor is the whole. That's an awesome stat, man. Nicely done. Thank you for joining us, man. Appreciate you. Have a good week, and we'll talk soon. Appreciate all of you out there joining us. That was a lot of fun. Real quick note as we're wrapping up, Rhys Hoskins, the new Milwaukee Brewers first baseman, looks like he is going to be have no limitations going forward.
Average 27 home runs a year, over 27 home runs a year, when he played over 100 games.
It's a nice move right there for them. He's going to be looking good in a Brewer uniform, as he mentions Brewers, our caller there. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Wisconsin Badger basketball moving up in the rankings and right there. They're at number 6, Marquette at number 9. It's a fun time for Wisconsin basketball.
Awesome.
Along with the Bucks and everything. It's been a fun time. Yeah. It's been fun hanging out with you, Randy. Thanks for the time.
Always a pleasure.
We'll meet you back here next week for more Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Post Printing here at WFHR.